SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Hour 2 of Fantasy Sports Today right here on Sports Grid. Joe Pisapia in for Craig Mish on vacation in sunny Florida, which is where Craig Mish lives. So I don't know if that's really a vacation, a staycation. I don't know if he's going somewhere. All I know is he's not here this week. He's taking some time off before baseball season ramps up. Craig needs to plug himself in and recharge for a little while between football and baseball. And then you're going to get Craig Mish for a good 6 months here. And he'll be ready to go, and they'll take another week off probably to recharge in between baseball and football. But you're stuck with me for the rest of the week. And, of course, I got a little help from my friends today, Christopher Welsh from InThisLeague.com. You can go check them out on the ITL Army, and you can join them. They have phenomenal content. They do baseball. They do football. They do basketball. They do hilarious secret podcasts, which are my favorite thing in the world. And they're my good pals. And of course, if you love prospects and you're big into dynasty baseball, Welsh also does Prospect One, which is a great podcast. He's down in Arizona. He talks to a lot of the guys. He's always covering Arizona Fall League. He sees a lot of the games. So great stuff there. So we're so graced with Welsh's presence today on our Super Bowl Monday recap edition. And let's start with headlines for Hour 2. Former NBA great Terry Porter is out as head coach of Portland. That always hurts when your home team gets rid of you as a coach. Texas Rangers pulled off a deal, and this was kind of surprising here. Kind of caught some people off guard. Elvis Andrews traded from Texas to the Oakland A's in exchange for Chris Davis with a K. Don't want to mix up here with a K. Number one Gonzaga travels this week to take on BYU. We've got Bucks and Nuggets tonight in a nice 8-game slate in the NBA. And, of course, if you're looking ahead already, in case you wanted to know, the Chiefs are plus 490 and the Bucks are plus 950 to win the Super Bowl next year. So are you a little surprised by those odds? I mean, it makes sense that Mahomes would have good odds yet again if you wanted to get in early on a little revenge narrative for Patrick Mahomes getting there 3 years in a row. It's not easy, Welsh, and I want to touch on that baseball trade with you in a second, because obviously when Marcus Semien left, that did leave a void there at shortstop. I thought they might fill it another way. This is an interesting way that they ended up filling it. But before we do, let's talk about those odds there. And not only is it not surprising that they've got such good odds, but is it surprising that the Bucks are all the way at 950? Like, again, here we go. Everybody's saying Tom Brady can't do it. Well, he can't repeat. Oh, we're starting off on the wrong foot. Everybody, if you're sick of Tom Brady, make him 2-1. Please make him the favorite, and then maybe he'll stop Welsh, right?
I saw that, and I was like, wow, the odds makers are already betting that everybody is going to come back. But if you think about it, is that going to be a deal? Is that going to be, that's why you want to slap that right now? Because if he does come back and Gronk is going to come back, isn't it just going to get worse? Aren't the odds going to just get worse for the Bucks?
You know what? I think Gronk will go. I do. I don't think Gronk will come back. If he does, I'd be very surprised. And I don't see why I wouldn't. I know, but it's Gronk. Yeah, I don't see why I wouldn't. It was like, hey, Gronk, you don't want to go take this cruise? Okay, that sounds great. It's during the football season. Well, okay, I like cruises. And then he just goes. You know, with Gronk, you just never know what's in his head. And by the way, did you read that story that was floating around that apparently one day he just did all of his sprints and he just kept changing his clothes because every day they had to send in so everybody knew that you were doing certain work. And he just decided one day to just do all of it. And then every day just sent himself doing the sprints in another outfit. Quintessential, I mean, Gronk. I love
that.
I hope that's
like the least. That's the least surprising thing I've ever heard about Rob Gronkowski. I buy it. I totally buy it.
Oh, I love this guy. It's great. Look, Godwin's the most important free agent, okay, to me. To me, Godwin was that guy for him. That was that go-to guy for Brady, especially down the stretch into the playoffs. I think you got to bring him back. You know, if you want to bring Fournette back, I think you can. I think you might want to think about it long and hard. But as long as his defense is intact, I don't know. I mean, Cameron Brate played pretty well. Tom Brady's going to find all kinds of guys always. I don't know. I think that Brady and Bruce Arians are going to do everything they can to bring as many pieces back. They made that clear in the press conference today. But once again, I mean, if you're not going to make Brady the favorite to repeat, you're just starting this cycle all over again.
The main question, all that is about the bet, and I'd ask you, Joe, is like, if Brady returns, can you and would you bet anything but the Bucks? Because if he's gone, don't worry about it. No one's making those bets. If he is a Buck in the 2021 season, can you bet anything but Tampa Bay?
I don't know. I mean, I've really got to seriously think about it because that defense is for real. And Todd Bowles isn't going anywhere. So the continuity of the coaching staff is going to be intact. Look, they're pretty good shape right now. And I think they're in a good shape for this 2-year window. And I think they got there and won it before they thought. I think they thought next year was going to be the year and it came early. Real quick, this deal here between the A's and the Rangers, what's your take on this movement of these two players?
Only thing that was surprising was Chris Davis moving off of that team. He was a stalwart of the Oakland A's forever as a DH. No surprise. Andrus had no more home in Texas. So going to the A's, I think is fantastic, especially if he can hit towards the top of the lineup just to get a spot. But Chris Davis going to the Rangers was very surprising and actually puts a little bit of a question on Willie Calhoun's value coming into this year because he was kind of the DH. So I think Willie Calhoun's value takes a little bit of a hit. Andrus takes a big step up and it made a lot of sense. It's one of those weird moves where you're like, wow, this is great for everybody. It didn't work that way.
Yeah. I thought Davis would bounce back last year and didn't happen, but keep your eye on both those guys. They'll probably both be valued in fantasy drafts this coming 21 season. All right, we're going to break when Welsh and I come back. A little Pro Football Hall of Fame talk because Saturday night we got some honors and some very well-deserving ones as that is one of the great quarterbacks of all time is going to go into the Hall. We'll be right back to talk about him and more right after this, right here on Sports Grid. We'll be right back after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
One of my favorite events is the NFL Honors on Saturday night before the Super Bowl. A little bit different this year, obviously, but still special nonetheless. And we'll get to the awards in a little bit. But first, I want to talk about those Pro Football Hall of Fame inductees. We had Drew Pearson go in finally, too, from the Veterans Group, which was great, long overdue. People don't realize how difficult it was to play wide receiver back in the 60s and 70s and even into the 80s because basically they could tackle you just trying to run a route. I mean, it was kind of insane what guys were able to do in the defensive side of the ball to the guys trying to catch the football. It was very dangerous, and Drew Pearson was one of the best, so great to see him get in. Tom Flores getting into awesome selections there. Well-deserved, way overdue. And, of course, the big ones start with Peyton Manning, who everybody knew was going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer, but still, it's nice to bask in the glory of I love Peyton Manning. He's just such a likable guy. And even though I was a Patriots fan, there were many times I was very frustrated by him. It's great to see him get into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. He deserves all the accolades. Charles Woodson, obviously no-brainer, first time on the ballot, right into the Hall of Fame, as he should be, one of the great cornerbacks of all time. You also had Megatron, Calvin Johnson, get in. When Craig and I talked about him on Friday, Craig was a little on the fence. He wasn't sure if he was going to get in the first time. I felt he was. I thought it was a no-brainer. This guy was absolutely spectacular, and I made the argument that it's fantasy sports that really have highlighted some of these guys over these years and really made some household names out of players that maybe might not have been in certain circles because, fantasy, everybody knows everybody now, and it's really changed the landscape. And, of course, John Lynch and Alan Faneca go in as well. John Lynch was on my 5 list on Friday. Very happy for John Lynch. When I think of that era and I think of the safeties, John Lynch always comes to mind. He was one of the best to ever do it. Also great at announcing, obviously, now in the front office working. So he's had a long and illustrious career in the NFL. And then Alan Faneca, who once again, one of the great offensive linemen in Welsh. It's always difficult to gauge offensive linemen, right? Because there's no real stats. It's all eye test. It's all talking about their play with their peers, their coaches, their teammates, and kind of judging it. So this was the five. Did you think this was the worthy five that you had in your head as well? And maybe would you take any of these guys out? Obviously not maybe three of them, but if Faneca and Lynch, were they on your list as Hall of Famers?
And this is a really strong list. I'm kind of with Mish a little bit that Calvin was a little bit tough for me, but I think that comes from a tiny bit of an old school mentality in my brain of just longevity in their careers. I mean, Jerry Rice was my hero growing up, my all-time favorite player, and the guy played 20 years. So, you know, the guys like Terrell Davis and Calvin Johnson who cut their careers short, there was always like a little stigma in my mind about like, well, we could have seen what there was. But like, take the one guy I thought that kind of got the short end of the stick, and maybe not everybody agrees, is like Reggie Wayne. You know, Reggie Wayne did with Peyton Manning, as well as obviously Marvin Harrison. I thought Reggie Wayne actually might have been a little bit more justified over Calvin Johnson. And that might sound crazy because obviously Calvin Johnson is a bigger name. He's much bigger in the grand scheme of it. And like you said, fantasy props it up. But I think Reggie Wayne, maybe Richard Seymour, those two I kind of thought would be in it. But when you look at the names that were in, it's hard to take any of them out. It's hard to take Calvin out. What's the argument? Maybe the longevity of the career. Like I said, John Lynch is a storied NFL player, was one of the best safeties in the league when he was here. So I have a hard time taking any of these guys out.
All right, so you said Reggie Wayne would have been in for you, Richard Seymour, which is interesting because I'm a Pats guy and I wouldn't put Richard Seymour in. I'm going to name some names. Let's play a little back and forth, okay? I'll say you say Hall of Famer or not. Sam Mills, great career with the New Orleans Saints, Carolina Panthers, obviously taken way too soon to an unfortunate early passing for him. I say Hall of Fame. What do you think about Sam Mills? You think he ever gets in?
I think he gets in. I'm going to say it's not for a while.
All right, Jared Allen obviously played some great seasons with the Vikings and the Chiefs. You think he's a Hall of Famer?
I don't think Jared Allen is a Hall of Famer. I mean, does he
I
get
struggle
there?
With
he
that
might,
one. I don't either.
Yeah, I'm not,
it's
I'm
tough. A very well liked player, but you know, and a great player, but Hall of Fame. I'm kind of with you, and I think if you pause and we're both pausing, then we're probably right. Rondé Barber. I think he is. What do you think about Rondé Barber? I say he was good enough to make it in there. Okay.
Yeah, I agree. I think he was one of the best at his position, you know, during his period.
Torrey Holt, wide receiver, clearly in terms of accumulation, a Hall of Famer. But it's funny, I think of the great wide receivers, and Torrey Holt's not a name that ever pops up in my head. But when you look statistically, he certainly pops up in a lot of those circles. Is Torrey Holt a Hall of Famer for you?
He is in my mind. I'm a wide receiver guy, Jerry Rice being my favorite. I'm also a mid-90s, you know, to early 2000s, very prominent. So like Isaac Bruce and Torrey Holt, they have little spots in print, you know, imprinted in my brain for a long time. And Torrey Holt was a huge, huge piece to that greatest show on turf. So yeah, I think so.
I just had a visual in my head, and correct me if I'm wrong, but did 16-year-old Welsh have that haircut that, you know, like kind of parted here and then stopped right here at the ears, you know, like that classic 90s haircut that like all the guys had? I didn't, because my hair grew out.
Why are you putting such a horrible, horrible hair? How could you think I had a horrible haircut?
I can picture
it. Joe, I did not have the part.
You did not have that haircut?
I clearly had a little bit longer hair than this. And bleach blonde it in the mid-90s.
Oh,
that's what I tips. And I had the tips. I had tips, and then I completely bleach blonde it.
Yeah, I see.
Come so on, don't give me such a horrible haircut.
Oh my goodness.
It's awful. I look like David Flair. Somebody called me David Flair when I was younger, when I was skinnier. They're like, hey, David Flair. And I was like, all right, I guess that's who I am.
Did you just want to fly sometimes? You know, just one.
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah. If you want to do that music, yeah, exactly.
Okay, well, I mean, if the tips fit, you know. All right, one more here. Clay Matthews, Hall of Famer or not?
Oh man,
this is old school Clay Matthews, not junior. This is like Daddy Clay.
Oh,
Matthews,
okay. You know what? About. I immediately went to. I went to.
I know that's why I could see your mind turning, and that's why I figured I would specify.
Yes.
I think so too. I think he was a great player in the 80s. Okay, here's the class for 2022. So let's have some fun with this one. You love wide receivers. Anquan Boldin. I'm a big Anquan Boldin guy. I think he doesn't get in on the first ballot, but I do think eventually Anquan Boldin gets in. Anquan Boldin had some fantastic seasons for the Cardinals. I think he does, but if he didn't, it wouldn't surprise me. But if I had a vote and it was a lighter class at some point in time, I could see him getting in. What Anquan Boldin for you? You think he's a Hall of Famer?
I think you totally nailed it too. I love Anquan. And, you know, being out here in Arizona, I one time, just real quick, I was running on the back end of a radio show, a popular radio show here in Phoenix, and Anquan came on and I got on the phone with him and we got him on the air. And then like 45 seconds after he got off, I had put him on hold, forgot to get back to him because I was trying to get out of the break, pick up the phone. He's still there. And he's just like, hey man. And he just couldn't have been nice. He was just the nicest guy on the planet. Wasn't hanging up, sticking around, talked with me for a minute. Also one of the toughest players in the NFL, especially at his at his position. Yeah, I felt like Anquan and Hines Ward both kind of changed the
Idea. Here's another one too. Andre Johnson, who played some awful Texas teams. I think Andre Johnson is a Hall of Famer. So I'm okay with Anquan. I'm okay with Andre Johnson. Tony Romo is not a Hall of Famer. No. I mean, Tony Romo is not a Hall of Famer to me. Is he a Hall of Famer to you?
No. He might get in broadcasting, but not from his play.
He's not going to get in broadcasting. He keeps using words like especially. Especially is not a word, Tony. I had my counter going yesterday and Bogman finally noticed it and he made
what was the number
about
what did, what was his
it was only number? Two. I had the over under at 4.5. I mean, usually he's good for at least a half a dozen especialies while he's drinking his espresso at the same time. Yeah, I guess so. Steve Smith, wide receiver. He's a lock, right?
Ooh, yeah, I think so. He another one of those like Anquan, like Hines Ward.
But
like
he's a lock. He has a huge moment.
Yeah, he's a lock.
And the last one here, Vince Wilfork, who I also think is a lock, and DeMarcus Ware. I think those guys are lock Hall of Famers. Would you agree?
Yeah, Ware is Wilfork. Wilfork is like offensive lineman. Like Wilfork. I think he's tough.
No. Vince Wilfork, big old defensive run stopper from the Pats. Vince Wilfork.
Oh, I know. But I'm saying offensive lineman, where you're saying big giant, like, you know, middle of the line type of defensive tackles. They're kind of tough sometimes unless they have massive stats. So, but I'll go with
he's got massive everything. I'm pretty sure Vince Wilfork was massive. Just
massive
period,
overalls
so.
Too. Yeah,
and again, a lovely personality. I think was very well liked in the league, and I think that matters. You know, I mean, it's not the hall of everybody likes me, but you know what? Ask Curt Schilling about that. You know, you kind of have to have some good PR to make all of that work. All right, Welsh and I are going to continue with some awards. We're going to talk about all the AP awards that happened in the NFL this weekend. So stick around. We'll be right back to talk about those.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Well, this weekend, all the awards went out. MVP, Coach of the Year, this of the year, that of the year. And it's time to recognize some of them because we left you on Friday and now it's Monday and the Super Bowl happened. But again, we can only talk about that so much. It is just one game after all and just another ring in the Thanos glove. Like Thanos didn't even have this many Infinity Stones. Like that's the thing. No. When you get to Tom Brady, like it's a whole other gauntlet now, Welsh. I mean, we're totally nerding out here, but this is it. Like, what is it? Does that one go here? Is it going like the palm of his hand? Like, I don't even know.
It'll
like,
be a little yachty. It'll be a little yachty. It'll go in his forehead. Just go right there like Vision. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, was it a little Uzi? Is that his name? Well, I don't know if I can.
Uzi,
James, what
yachty?
Was the name
of the... I don't know.
Little Uzi. Little yachty. Oh, that's Yadier Molina's kid. Little
I'm
yachty.
So I'm so sorry. Sure. I got little yachty and little Uzi confused. My bad, guys.
And you're going to lose all your street cred now. You've gained so much of it in the Scottsdale, Surprise, Arizona areas. You know, it's a lot of street cred for the Welsh. I don't want you to lose it
my
here. My
Wu-Tang reference
afternoon.
Earlier, and then I just screwed it up with Lil Yachty or Little Minor.
Something. Why is everyone got to be Lil? Like, you would think. I mean, although, I guess there was Big Pun. There was Big Papa. There were some bigs, too.
But see, no it was different medium. Eras, though. Everyone was big. It was, and then skinny. It was like, here's the obese rap era. And then here's the, here's the weight diet issue, anorexic rap era that we need like a healthy, like just work out, take your vitamins rap era.
Yeah.
Where was that? Where's that?
I don't know. Medium Joe. I'm going to be medium Joe. That's what I'm going to be.
I like that.
You know, when medium Joe. My first album is going to be Everything in Moderation. It's going to drop. I think probably in December of this year. So keep a look at Everything in Moderation by Medium Joe. It's going to be awesome.
Sponsored by Trevor Bauer's company, Momentum. Yeah, I like it.
Actually, I just signed with what's her name? What's his agent's name? I just forgot her name.
Rachel Luba.
Oh, my goodness. Rachel Luba. Yeah, she just signed me to a long-term contract. And she may or may not at some point in the video tell you when, but the album is going to drop. We're not going to give you a date, but it's coming. So just
Oh, you're going to do an album just like Bauer.
Oh, wow. Oh, no, of course. Well, look, Trevor Bauer's album, if anybody hasn't heard this yet, if you've never heard From the Gutter to the Grail by Trevor Bauer, it is one of the, I think, true rap opuses, true hip-hop operas, if you will. And
if we're going to do a show and we're going to talk about Wu-Tang and then Little Yachty or Little whatever, we've got to talk about From the Cradle to the Grave. What's the name?
Little Uzi, a little Uzi, little gauntlet? Or something.
Oh, yeah, little millimeter.
Okay. All right, let's do some awards. We've gone way off the rails, and look, and you know what? In all fairness, an hour and a half—that's a long run for us to have not gone off the rails. So, kudos to us. Look at us. All right, NFL awards.
I mean, I'm trying to keep it together here, Joe. I'm good.
No brainer here. Aaron Rodgers won. Not surprising. No one's surprised by this whatsoever. So now that one's in the books, next year you have an early favorite in your mind. Is it not someone not named Patrick Mahomes? Because that's boring. So let's throw him out. So because he's too easy. So who else do you? Is it the Josh Allens? I mean, it's typically a quarterback award. I'm trying to think of who else might be in that conversation for you. I mean, you could put Lamar back in that conversation. You know, if he gets an Allen Robinson or something like that, that could be very good. Is there a anybody that comes to mind for you right away you want to throw into next year's, you know, because nobody thought Josh Allen was going to be in that conversation this year. I can assure you. You go look at ADP in fantasy leagues, nobody thought Josh Allen was going to be in the MVP conversation, but he almost won it. So anybody for you you're thinking about for next year?
Yeah, I mean, obviously Mahomes jumps in there. I think Lamar is a decent shot. I think as long as the team can recognize, similar to like what Kansas City was dealing with, where why can you go into the Super Bowl, not have adjustments? How can you understand your team and not make those? I think Baltimore has the same thing. I think there are adjustments that need to be made with Lamar Jackson as a passer. He did not go to checkdowns. He was super uncomfortable. It would be first read, take the ball down and run. Or overthrow, or lack of separation. So if they were to get some weapons in, I think he's there. The move and change that Josh Allen made as a quarterback this past year was astonishing to me. He was the most impressive. You want to talk about, you know, the most improved player in the NFL. In my eyes, Josh Allen was just hands down. He went from a solid quarterback, like maybe he's a notch or two above Sam Darnold, to an elite quarterback who can make the throws, who's dangerous on every front. There's nothing you can do defensively that can really truly stop Josh Allen, because if you try to stop him from running, he's got the big cannon arm. He was going down check down. Stephon Diggs made him better. I guess if I really had, I would pick, I think I'd pick Josh Allen, because I think he can put up some monster numbers next year. I think Buffalo is going to still be as good, but like it's still really Patrick Mahomes.
I'll throw two names into the hat. First one's Dak Prescott. I'm going to throw in there too, you know, because I mean, it could be comeback player of the year too. But if they can actually go out there and win that division, which is not out of the realm of possibility, we all know that, you know, Dak Prescott could have a very good season. I mean, he was on pace for a phenomenal statistical season before he got hurt. And I wonder where Deshaun Watson ends up, if that could be something too. That would be really fun. I'd love to see Deshaun make a run at MVP. I think that would be very cool. Okay, defensive player of the year. Not too surprising. Aaron Donald is a complete beast. And I don't know if you saw on social media over the weekend, but J.J. Watt took up the gauntlet, as it were, for his brother, T.J. Watt, and threw out a little statistical comparison. And he's not wrong statistically. The only thing that I'll say is that it's kind of like trying to judge the great cornerbacks. Like you can't judge them by interceptions because people just don't throw at them. So trying to judge Aaron Donald's greatness just sheerly on stats on the defensive side is difficult because he's being double teamed, triple teamed sometimes. People are literally running away from him in offenses, trying to make sure you don't run anywhere near Aaron Donald because it's basically a slow death or a quick death, probably more likely. So I don't think it's fair. I think it's cool that he stuck up and said, hey, look, my brother's really good and that's nice. But I'm okay with Aaron Donald winning this award. And I would have been okay with TJ Watt winning it. What do you take out of that whole JJ Watt kind of getting involved here? Was that kind of, was that bad form, or was that, look at my brother, I love my brother standing up for me?
It was very like Derek David Carr-esque. That's what it felt like online.
Oh, Lord,
like, let me tell you about why he's still elite. I thought it was a little childish. Like, we get it, dude. Of all people that should understand it, he should. JJ should understand the process of it. Like, defend your brother. His brother was awesome, but Aaron Donald is also the best defensive player in the NFL. He changes schemes across the board. And it's tough because I think people do talk out of both sides of their mouth with these awards sometimes. Is it the best player or is it the best statistical player? And that's where I think this gets lost. And, you know, it's kind of a, there's kind of this like unknown that's floating in there, this gray area, if you will, about how it's being judged if you're not just going purely off of stats. And I think that's where Aaron Donald lives a little bit. So I'd say, you know, Aaron Donald's still a favorite. Watt should be considered. What about your guy, Devin White? You know, Devin White should be maybe one of those guys.
Hey, you know what? Had Devin White, had the playoffs been included and the voting happened now, I think it might have been more of a discussion.
Yeah.
His playoff run was spectacular. All right. Rookie of the year was Justin Herbert. Certainly Justin Jefferson, the other Justin, was worthy of consideration also. But once again, the quarterbacks went out. Early favorites going into next year include Trevor Lawrence, Ja'Marr Chase, Devontae Smith. We could throw ATN. And of course, my guy from Alabama too, Najee Harris, could throw into that conversation. Do you have any favorites there? Is it just kind of like, well, if Trevor Lawrence just plays and starts and probably a foregone conclusion, it's Trevor Lawrence. I do think he's that good, but I love to see Najee Harris kind of get in that conversation.
I mean, I love Etienne, and I think Ja'Marr Chase, it's just so dependent. Like, Ja'Marr Chase is to this year's Jerry Jeudy, but there was a bad quarterback situation. He just didn't get the run. Devonta Smith could be next year's Justin Jefferson. I mean, Justin Jefferson was not the best wide receiver on the board. Shocking still that the Eagles passed on him and went into an incredible situation where he became the number two. That could be Smith to Ja'Marr Chase. At the end of the day, though, I'd say you've got to probably look at a quarterback. So that's going to be ideally like who gets into the best spot. Is Justin Fields going to go, or Josh Fields going to go, whichever one. Now I'm convoluting them. Fields, wherever he goes, Mac Jones. I mean,
Mrs.
There's a handful
Fields.
Of these
I love her cookies.
Yeah, Mrs. She makes Fields the best cookies. Cookies. Yeah. Trevor Lawrence is the one like it could, but I don't know. I don't know if he's going to go into a good enough situation. Any of the other quarterbacks go and play 10 plus games, I would go against them on Lawrence.
You got your baseball and your football cross for a second. Happens to me all the time.
I do this all the time. Bogman would be like, you keep saying Josh Fields, who did play baseball at Oklahoma State, but then he was also a football player.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's all good. And you know what? You've gone almost 2 hours without doing one of your classic Welshisms where you take two cliches and put them together and make a new one. I'm still waiting for that. Don't disappoint me. You got the rest of the week, Thursday, Friday.
I'm trying hard not to.
All right, last two here. We had Derrick Henry win AP Offensive Player of the Year. Obviously, look, Derrick Henry again, incredible season for him. And Chase Young won Defensive Rookie of the Year. Well-deserved by Chase Young. Tremendous season for Chase. Really a huge cog in that defense that ended up getting that divisional win and then taking them into the playoffs. Look, you know me. I'm Mr. Derrick Henry. 2 years in a row, I said he would be leading the league in rushing. He's only the third guy in the last two decades to do it back-to-back years. Can he do it a third? I'm a little skeptical. I don't think he can. But I'm also not selling him off yet. I'm not investing in him, I would say, in 21 leagues. I absolutely will. But it does beg the question, Welsh, is this in Keeper and Dynasty the absolute peak Derrick Henry sell-off time where you might be able to retool with maybe an ATN or a Najee Harris or somebody like that?
Oh, no doubt. Absolutely no doubt about that. Can you go 3 years? Can they continue to give him the ball as much as they do and find the same success? The volume's fantastic, but it cannot continue. So, yeah, if I were in a Dynasty league, I'd want more than just getting like Najee Harris or Etienne or something like that. But this is a total, total sell-off time. I'd be poking around and see if the Saquon Barkley owner is just so sick of those injuries. Go get some Saquon Barkley. I might cost a little bit more, but I'd rather have Barkley over the next 3 years than Henry.
That's interesting. Even with all the injuries, it's something to think about. Definitely is. I love Saquon. I'm a big fan. All right. Before we close things out here, we're going to do a little fantasy reality of my good pal Welsh, but make sure you stick around to the network because you got a whole lot of great programming. You got Pharrell Coast to Coast coming up later and amazing other programs here on Sports Grid. So stick around with us. We'll be right back with more FST though, right after this.
Sports
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back, everyone, to Fantasy Sports Today, right here on Sports Grid. Joe Pizzapia filling in for Craig Mish all week with a little help from my friends. So today we had the Welsh. Tomorrow and Wednesday we have the Scott Bogman. Hopefully all of his cats won't get in the way. He's like a crazy cat lady. I don't know what's going on with Boggs, but again, these are my guys. He does have the hair for it. There's no doubt. These are my guys from the Black Book show. These are my guys from the Black Book itself. They're hosts of In This League right here on Sports Grid. And look, if you enjoyed today, I'm telling you, go over to InThisLeague.com and join the ITL Army for $5 and be part of it, because they do phenomenal content, that some of the best prospect content. They do NFL, MLB, NBA. They do WWE and AEW, because I do the wrestling show over there. So anything you could possibly imagine, it's there. And Nate Bush does the wrestling show with me over there on ITL. So again, if you enjoy this kind of thing, if this is your deal, go check out ITL over on Patreon and go sign up today. Welsh, I got a question for you. I know it's crazy because, you know, you have to deal with all the coasts and stuff like that. Does the Super Bowl start at the right time for you? Do you like the 6:30 start? Do you think that's like the perfect thing? Or would you like it just a little bit earlier? I would like it at like a 5 o'clock start. I feel like some point in time in my lifetime, it was a little earlier and I'm getting old. So I would like it a little earlier. Am I just getting old? You could tell me the truth. We're friends.
I get like a little curmudgeon about it, just a tiny bit. Arizona's super annoying. Maybe not annoying. Maybe everybody else is annoying. We don't do time change. Arizona doesn't. So
I know.
Instead of weird. How you guys change your clocks, what we do in Arizona is we change our time zones. So that's also a problem. So here's what happens. During the Super Bowl, we're Mountain Standard instead of Pacific, which I'll be in a month, will be Pacific time. So the Super Bowl started at 3:30 on the far, far West Coast, for me, that'd be like, that'd be a little too much.
No, that's too 4:30. Early. That's no good.
It was 4:30 for me. It was perfect. Super Bowl was done by, I don't even know, 7:30, 8, something like that. It wasn't too late. But I know for you guys, it's a lot later. It is exact wheelhouse for me. But if you move it up, to 5, Joe, that's 2 o'clock on the West Coast. You cannot run a Super Bowl at 2 o'clock. I mean, I guess they're running it at 3:30.
You
can't do it that early.
No,
if
you're
anything,
right.
It's getting pushed back further for you. You guys will be like 7:30 next.
And I'm okay with it. It's just like, again, it's like the kids. I want the kids to be able to stay up and watch those games. And, you know, I mean, they did. You know, the little one kind of fell out in the fourth quarter a little bit. But this was the first year they really watched football. And it was really fun to actually have that and enjoy the whole game, the whole season with them. But, you know, I wanted to see Tom Brady. I had to wake up. Hey, wake up. Tom Brady won again. Speaking of Tom Brady, let's play a little fantasy or reality. I'm going to ask this question or make a statement, basically. And you tell me, fantasy or reality. And the first one today is Brady and Gronk are the greatest quarterback tight end duo ever. Fantasy or reality, Welsh?
Oh, that's reality. Who is the question? Like, who do you build it around? I mean,
I'm trying to think of another one, and the only one I can think of, I would say Dan Fouts and Kellen Winslow is the other one that comes to mind.
Okay, that's a good
one.
That's
the only other one.
You'd love to throw Tony Gonzalez in, but Tony Gonzalez didn't have a consistent quarterback, so you can't have that.
No.
Bledsoe, Ben Coe. I mean, I think
that's none of those guys. No.
Stuff like that. Well, I love
Ben Coe. I mean, here's the other question is Mahomes. Well, here's the only thing you could put out there, too. Now, obviously, they're very prolific in the playoffs, but what about Kelce and Mahomes? Are they kind of on that path to being that, or is it Brady and Gronk and they're the standard? And, you know, 6 straight years of 1,000 yards receiving, that's pretty darn good for Travis Kelce.
Yeah. The only problem with that, I just don't think they're going to overlap enough. I mean, Kelce's not getting any younger. He's already doing the movie. I don't know if you saw, Kelce's in some show. I watched 5 minutes of it and then unsubscribed from Showtime.
What is this
show called Moonbase 8? with was it John C. Reilly and just a couple other guys. Fred Armisen is in it.
Yes. Is it terrible?
He's in it, and I was like, I was done immediately. And if that's a trajectory of where he's going and wants to act and he's getting feature roles like that, like how much longer does he have to play? So all I'm getting at is like the trajectory of those two playing together. I'm not sure if it lines up enough. I think it is unquestionably Gronk and Brady. And I don't know when that's going to change as far as tight ends goes, because I don't think Kelce Martin should get there.
All right. I'm going to ask this is a very dicey question to ask you, Mr. 49er, but what's greater now?
Great question.
I'm going to ask Montana and Jerry Rice or Brady and Gronk in the playoffs. Who's better? I mean, it's close. I still say Montana and Rice too, but it's close. It's getting in that conversation, yeah, which is kind of scary because he's not a wide receiver. He's a tight end, but two more touchdowns in that game yesterday.
I know, is it 13, I think, postseason touchdowns that they've had. It's together. Crazy. Part of the problem with Jerry Rice is it intertwines with Steve Young. So it's not just Montana. I mean, what was their crossover? Like 9 years, 10 years, something like that. 8 years.
Right. Yeah. So you had that second run there with Steve Young. That's why I asked
a little
bit, because the end of Montana, or the latter part of Montana with the 49ers, is the beginning of Jerry Rice. And then it kind of carried on. And that's why it's an interesting, that's why I said those two specifically, because they did win a few together, but it's not quite as prolific from the totality standpoint as Brady and Gronk, because they were together so long and now in two different places. All right. So we're both saying reality there. Next one. Welsh, you enjoyed the halftime show starring The Weeknd, which I'm such an old fart that Brett had to fix this graphic because I think I added an E to The Weeknd. I think I spelled it like weekend and it's not. So I'm an old fart. Thank you, Brett. You got my back. I love you, my brother. But I will let you go first on this one as well, since you're the guest today. Did you enjoy The Weeknd? And I mean The Weeknd. I mean The Weeknd.
I enjoyed my weekend. My weekend was very nice.
No. The Weeknd. The Weeknd. Not your weekend. Yeah. Did you enjoy The Weeknd? Yeah.
So I have a tweet. I got to be careful about all my tweets.
You're very careful.
And I just tweeted this. I went W-E-A-K-N-D for The Weeknd.
Oh.
Nice. Very clever, okay. Right? I'll be honest with you. That was a good dad joke. I kind of liked The Weeknd before he became famous and whatnot. This unbearable. Someone had an amazing joke where it showed all the like weird, creepy white mask people that you can see on the graphic right there. And they said it's the most people masked in Florida during the entire quarantine was during this performance. So,
well, we don't know. Craig might be one of those guys. I don't know. Mish might have been one. Maybe that's why he was off. He had all these preparations for the Super Bowl. He could have been one of those masked guys. We don't know. Could have been him. Yeah, could have been Joe Ranieri here at the network. A lot of our Florida men could be in that mix of guys. It did look like they were wearing jock straps. I saw a lot of people saying, look at me, I'm hanging out with The Weeknd, and they had the jock straps on their face. That I saw a lot of.
This
wasn't for us, but it's a fantasy. I didn't enjoy it. It wasn't for me to enjoy. However, the standard was set, you know, last year when we were doing Black Book together, how excited I was for the Shakira Jennifer Lopez halftime show, which I'm fine with them just doing the halftime show every year. I think that should be the standard. Yeah. I think we could bring that back, run that back. Anytime. It was for everybody. Everybody won, you know, and Shakira did the whole
time during that one.
And remember, Shakira did the whole little thing that we had done 2 weeks earlier on our podcast, because it was like we did the quiz. Remember, we did the Super Bowl quiz. And somehow it degenerated into that's how you buzzed in. And then I'll never forget it. My phone blowing up with you and Bogman both separately going, oh my gosh, Shakira just did the thing that we
were doing. Our thing. I will say though, the one thing what's super important, I think, about a halftime show is you have to have something meme worthy. So Shakira had that. Yes. And at least they are walking out that shark, meme.
The shark. Boy,
yeah, the
thing
shark.
Was a
exactly.
Big deal.
But the meme of The Weeknd, like, crazily walking through the glass door.
It was like John Wick 2. At some point, I thought John Wick was going to pop out from there and like shoot him or something.
I wish The Weeknd did something.
Didn't that remind you of the end of John Wick 2? That's all I could think about when I was watching it. And I was like, well, where's John Wick? And and those memes were very funny. Like me where I can't find my phone, me where I can't do that. Those were great. I enjoyed that. But, you know, I feel like the standard's been pretty good. I mean, you had Lady Gaga, you had Katy Perry, you had who else? I mean, you haven't had Pink yet, who I think would be a good one. You haven't had the Foo Fighters yet, who I think would be great. But, you know, they don't want to do that. We got to always go very, very poppy and things like that. I don't know. I wasn't feeling the weekend. I'm sorry, everybody. I'm an old fart.
Neither.
What do you want from me? But no, I didn't enjoy the weekend. All right, last one here. Fantasy or reality? You know, Bruce Arians has a really good coaching staff there, and they really did some fantastic work. Leftwich did, but Todd Bowles specifically, who I think is a good head coach. I think he got a raw deal with the Jets, and I think he's going to get another shot. But I'm going to ask you the same question. Fantasy or reality, Todd Bowles will be a head coach again in the NFL. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to start with this one because I think he will. I think he's going to get another opportunity. This was a monumental effort here throughout the playoffs, not just in the Super Bowl. But I think other organizations stand up and notice. And I think Todd Bowles has always been a first-class kind of guy. I think he got a raw deal in New York. I mean, how many Jet coaches can be successful? So I'd love to see Todd Bowles get another shot somewhere else. I think he's a great football man, a stand-up, first-class kind of guy. And a lot of Jet fans I know felt the same way, that he kind of just got a bad set of circumstances that there was no way he could possibly be successful in. So I'll ask you, Welsh, are you fantasy or reality? Todd Bowles, head coaching NFL once again.
Yeah, I think this is a reality, but let me throw the question back and let me change the question on you. Okay. I don't know if you saw the cringeworthy moment where Byron Leftwich was being interviewed and someone asked him a question as if he was Todd Bowles, and he was just like,
oh,
that ain't
God.
Me. But let me ask the question, though. Who is a head coach first, Todd Bowles or Byron Leftwich? Because I think it's Byron Leftwich.
It probably is Byron Leftwich, and I was showing my kids last night too, because they asked me, they were talking about Byron Leftwich, and they said, well, he's the offensive coordinator, and he's actually younger than Tom Brady, which was funny, a little nugget I threw out to them, which is stunning. I know, right? Did you stop to think about that Byron Leftwich is younger than Tom Brady? But I showed them that great clip of that Marshall game where he hurt his leg and the offensive line had to carry him, and it's one of the most incredible team sport moments I've ever seen in my life, and I think he might, only because it's an offensive league, but I think Todd Bowles should, because I think Todd Bowles, they were right to give him the job and give him the opportunities that he got. I just felt like, you know what, it just wasn't a good scenario, wasn't a good situation, and I think you've also seen this in the league too. You've seen it with Pete Carroll, you've seen it with a few other coaches where that first gig didn't always work out, and sometimes it's the second one where things really take. And they really start to, become a great head coach. And I think he deserves that second shot.
I'll tell you, if Byron Leftwich were to get it, what a fantastic person to bring with your staff than Todd Bowles.
Oh, sure.
Bring a guy with former head
great
coach.
Great compliment.
Who has got a guy that's been there before. That's the type of staff you'd want to build around a new first-time head coach in Byron Leftwich. And let that be the stepping stone for him to reestablish as a head coach. I mean, he did it here, but maybe he goes with Leftwich at some point in the next year or two, and then he steps out after that. But I think Leftwich is the next guy that's going to come out of that staff.
It's stunning, too. You know, usually when you have the Super Bowl, all the coordinators are the next head coaches somewhere else. Leftwich, Bowles, Bieniemy, Spagnuolo, zero head coaching jobs for these guys in 2021 going forward. I mean, that's kind of crazy. When's the last time we got to a Super Bowl and one of the four coordinators was not going to be a head coach the following season? It rarely happens. So a bizarre set of circumstances, but reality nonetheless. So that'll do it for fantasy and reality. When Welsh and I come back, we'll wrap things up here with a nice pretty little bow with a little Sports Grid 60. So don't go anywhere. Welsh and me, Joey P, will be right back right here on your Sports Grid TV. That rhymes. It's like I'm Dr. Seuss or something. We'll be right back right after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com. We'll be right back.
All right, everybody, that's the end for us today. But before we go, we always like to leave you a little Sports Grid 60. What's on our minds, getting it out there into the ether so that the healing can begin. And maybe it's positive, maybe it's negative, maybe it's a little bit of both. But today, our good friend the Welsh is going to kick things off here with a little Sports Grid 60. So, Welsh, what's on your mind today that you need to get off your chest?
I might double dip a little bit from my show that you can catch ITL on Sports Grid right here. I don't know if I'm going to need 60. I'm sorry. LX, Roman numerals. You know what needs to go away? Roman numerals. They're so dumb. Earlier in the week, I needed to figure out what was behind it. Do you want to know why they use Roman numerals, if I can even say it properly? It's because they didn't want to build confusion in the championship games between the season ending and then the Super Bowl being in the next year. That is the whole crux of using Roman numerals, and we're still doing it. You know what Roman numerals are like? It's like doing daylight savings, which we've talked about before. Why was daylight savings out here? So farmers can have some more time. Guess what we don't need? Farmers to have any more time. Everybody's clocks are screwed up. We're using Roman numerals. Those are two things we don't need. And even my own show, I put Super Bowl 55 on the title of the show, Joe, in the podcast. And guess what the guys did? They changed it to LV.
No.
No more Roman numerals.
I'm with you. Get rid of it. It's ridiculous. Unless we're bringing back the Colosseum and gladiator fight, in which case I'm game. All right. How do you measure greatness? Well, I think the answer is now Tom Brady. And I know that's much to the chagrin of many people out there who don't like Tom Brady because he wins all the time. And they don't like his face. And they don't like the fact that every time they turn on their TV for a Super Bowl, he's there. But you know what? He's there for a reason. It's Michael Jordan. It's Wayne Gretzky. It's Babe Ruth. And now it's Tom Brady in football. And probably the most amazing part is that Tom Brady is playing the ultimate team game, and yet he is the man in the ultimate team game, which tells you that it's not just about quarterback play, it's also about leadership and how important that role is, and that's where Tom Brady's greatness truly lies. All right, that'll do it for us. For Welsh, I'm Joe Pisapia. We'll see you tomorrow, boys and girls.